Doing anything exceptionally well requires commitment and perseverance. The result of such efforts are those things that enjoy high regard and stand the test of time. We are driven to create exceptional radio by bringing together talent, creativity, determination, preparation, and painstaking craftsmanship. Anything less would not be worth the effort. The Common Man Program starts right now.
And boom! Why should anybody aspire to be a common man, an average man? Do you realize what it means to be average? That means you're the best of the lousiest. And the lousiest of the best. Now, if we demand more and more for producing less and less, while the have-not nations encourage and inspire and indeed require hard work and maximum effort, if we deify the common men while they encourage and reward the uncommon ones, well, the end result of such a lopsided race as that is too obvious to require elaboration.
I mean, it's like, hello?
That was probably Zimmer being Zimmer.
I've seen enough out of Cousins, Paul. Put him on ice.
Decca. Decca.
That is B-I-G big for this football team.
Thinking, eh? We'll just let the open play as we kind of meander through the first segment of the Common Man Program. Reason we've interrupted this opening, Common Man opening, for this special message, the Mike Zimmer News Conference could start at any moment. Season ending news conference scheduled for high noon. It's 1 minute and 37 seconds after the hour, 2 o'clock. So Tennessee is monitoring, and he's listening for the news conference to begin. So, but until then, why don't you sit back and relax and enjoy some more of the nonstop nonsense, Tom Foolery, skullduggery of the Common Man Open.
Above average.
We said it was going to be a tough guy game. And in a tough guy game, playoff football in December, you got to execute. And you can't leave plays on the field.
That's for sure.
When the Vikings and the Bears play, it's a street fight. If you're going to get ready for a street fight, you better start getting ready now.
You calling me a coward? Young man, I've done things that would make the hair on the back of your neck stand up.
Yeah, I think that's some information I would like to know.
You like that? You like that? How do you like me now? How do you like me now?
Yeah, I can.
He's the clown from Brown.
Oh, indeed I am.
He's the fourth in the north. This is the Common Man, Dan Cole.
Here's what I'll tell you, Tennessee. I think what ails the Vikings and how we can cure their ills, new offensive coordinator and run the ball more.
Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant.
It's all that's needed. New offensive coordinator, run the football more. Someone sent me an email and said, pre-game Viking Radio Network Sunday, Wobby called me out. Is that
Did
true?
He?
Well, you're the master control supervisor.
I can't say I'm listening all the time.
Well, there's that.
What did he say?
Just that they're not the Minnesota scapegoats, and the offense is better. The play calling is different. Then, of course, the Vikings went and had 4 total yards in the first half against the Bears.
It was different and better against bad defenses.
Yeah. And again, in all fairness to Wobby, I understand he drinks the Kool-Aid, and he's into it. Whatever it is that he does a good job at. But he's a, would you say Wobby's a fan first? And then,
yes.
I really believe he is. And that's not even a bad thing. Some of us just don't approach the occupation in that way. We're not fans first. We're rippers. And we're objective, not subjective, not negative, not positive. We are objective. And we just watch the games and calls them as we seize them. And as we tap dance here, Tennessee, I want to bring your attention to this. I received this email, unsolicited, but I was delighted to get it, from Buck Hill.
Really?
Buck Hill, yeah. Where Jean-Claude Keeley first learned to ski. They do concerts during the summertime at Buck Hill. Did you know that?
I did not.
I did not either. I don't know if this was, if this is something new or if they've been doing it for years, but it says One Hill of a Good Time. Get it? Join us for the 2019 Buck Concert Series. This year, we've pulled even more strings to bring your favorite bands to play right on iconic Buck Hill. For three nights, we'll be jamming out to some of your favorite hits. Below is our listing of the opening bands and headliners for the concert series and the information. Thursday, July 11th, Lou Gramm. Do you know who Lou Gramm is?
I do not.
Lou Gramm is the voice you hear on Urgent. Urgent.
Really?
He's the lead singer for Foreigner. He doesn't play with Foreigner anymore, though.
What happened?
I don't know. Maybe he just figures he can make more money on his own, or maybe there was a falling out. Also, the band Asia. You've heard of them, right? Heat of the Moment.
Yeah.
Okay. And then Def Legend. So not Def Leppard.
Not Death Lineup.
No, not Death Lineup, but Def Legend. Friday, July 12th, Don Felder, formerly of the Eagles, along with John Waite. John Waite was a heartthrob of the 80s. He did songs like I Should Have Known Better to Fall in Love with You. And Love is Just a Faded Memory. Gals loved him, right? Then there's a band called Them Pesky Kids, who I'm not sure who they are. Then I draw your attention to the Saturday, July 13th show. Heartless, who I've never heard of. Familiar with a band named Foghat?
Yes.
They did Slow Ride. And then here's what annoys me about Buck Hill. The last group they put is the Guess Who. I don't want a Guess Who. I don't want to buy a ticket for a concert where I don't know where the other act is.
Sure.
So it's got Heartless, Foghat, and the Guess Who. I don't know. I mean, think of all the 60s rock, 60s and 70s rock bands that are out there that they could have employed.
Well, I wouldn't even know where to guess because half the names you just mentioned I've never heard of before.
It.
So there's like an infinite amount of names. I don't even know who they are.
So if I go ahead and buy a ticket for the Saturday night show and I don't like the other band, I'm going to feel like, well, this didn't work out.
Is it like a mystery concert? Like you don't know who it's going to be until that time arrives?
That's a great idea for one of those talent television shows.
Sure.
Call it Voice with the Mask. And then you can have like celebrities that really aren't singers put a mask on and sing, and then the
Brilliant.
Judges try to guess who it is.
Brilliant.
Maybe that's what this is. Maybe all this band will have.
Maybe they're taking your Super Bowl idea. Remember your Super Bowl halftime show idea? You just bring in big name artists, but no one ever knows who they're going to be until they just pop out.
That is still one of the most brilliant ideas I think I've ever came up with.
Brilliant.
Who is the halftime show this year?
Maroon 5.
And wasn't there controversy because? Oh, here we go. Mike Zimmer, season ending news conference.
We started our evaluations from this past season, trying to look back at everything that went on and where we need to go from here. You know, there were a lot of good things that happened. Unfortunately, we didn't reach the goals that we wanted to. It was disappointing. We end up finishing that way. But there are a lot of good, positive things. You know, we finished top five in defense again. We finished in number one in red zone defense. Finished in number one in third down defense again. So there's a lot of good things. There's a lot of things we got to get cleaned up. And we'll, like I told the team the other day, that we're going to evaluate everything very thoroughly, including myself and everywhere that we're going to go from there. So that I'll take questions.
Is wearing women's underwear part of your journey?
Honestly, it doesn't really mean that much. I never had any doubt that anybody was not supporting me or anything like that. So I think if you look over the 5-year track record, you might, you know, but unfortunately, this is what did you do for me now?
How are you looking at the offensive coordinator situation? Kevin doesn't land the head position. Are you looking at him as a leading candidate to be retained, or what would you say?
I'm looking at all kind of options there. We're sitting down, and again, we're evaluating everything. I think Kevin's a really good football coach, very smart guy. I thought he did a good job for the 3 weeks that were in a tough situation that we had to do. But, you know, it's fair to the organization, to myself, to the fans, that we look at everybody.
How does it complicate things with him not being under contract and being able to talk to other teams about, you know, other positions?
Well, he's technically he's under contract till Tuesday, so you know, we have exclusive rights to that. So, you know, obviously I'll decide before then.
Coach, did your team's identity change this year?
I believe it did, yeah. You know, quite honestly, the death of Tony Sperano really kind of threw things into a little bit of a downward spiral, only because of the fact that this guy was a type A personality. He was very innovative in the running game and had a strong voice in that room and had a strong voice with me. So, yeah, I do feel like we lost a little bit of our identity and, you know, we're going to get that back.
Like, what's important for the next OC? What kinds of things do you want to see that person bring to the table?
You know, I think the biggest thing is, you know, we've got to score points. You know, we didn't score enough. We're in the red zone. You know, obviously I want to be able to run the football and play action pass because I think that's the most effective way to affect a defense. But, you know, we didn't score enough points in the red zone. We weren't good enough on third downs. I mean, there was a lot of things that we need to improve on there, and so that's going to be big. You know, part of it is making sure that we're able to, without getting too complicated, X's and O's, but a lot of things I've been thinking about is, you know, we got this great player. How are we going to block him? Let's get innovative with this so that we can protect and be able to throw the ball or protect and be able to run the ball to a different spot.
What did you learn from the experience this year hiring John DiFilippo, somebody new, and then having to make a change in the middle of the season? What did you learn from that?
Yeah, well, you know, it wasn't. I still think Flip is a good football coach. I just didn't like the direction that it was going at the time, and I was trying to make a something to get us going again and get us going back in the right direction. So I trying to get us out of that little tailspin that we were in. I learned that, and I've thought about this a lot. I've learned a lot about the questions, the interview process, about things that I probably should do a lot better than what I did, and hopefully I'll do better this next time.
During the interview process with prospective candidates for offensive coordinators?
Pardon me?
You're talking about the interview process with prospective
offensive coordinators? Yeah, a lot of that, yeah. You know, we do a lot of research on guys, and, you know, and guys' names pop up and pop up and pop up, and, you know, and you kind of assume that that's the right way, but it may not be the right way for your particular football team. And so I need to do a better job there, yeah.
Do you feel you missed something in the interview process with Flip then?
You know, Dawn, not necessarily that. I just don't think I asked enough questions as far as what we were trying to get done, maybe. I don't think, not with him personally, you know, probably with everybody that we talked to.
Are you concerned at all about Kirk Cousins' performance in the clutch and in big games?
No, you know, I see that statistic, and, you know, obviously it's not a good statistic, but, you know, quite honestly, Joe, it's about the football team. You know, one guy doesn't win games around here. One guy doesn't lose games. You know, and so I don't take it that way. I have a lot of confidence in Kirk. You know, I've talked to him. You know, I've talked to some other people about, you know, how I can help him better and things that I can do moving forward. And so, he's going to come out and play really good next year.
Mike, in what ways did Kirk live up to your expectations, and what would you like to see him get better at from this season?
Well, certainly there's a lot of things in both areas, but, you know, I really don't want to get into the specifics on sit here in front of all of you and tell you what, you know, he needs to get better at. I'd rather talk to him about those kind of things. But as far as the things that he did good, I feel like you know, he number one, he came in here, was a great teammate. He studied real hard. He worked extremely hard at everything he was trying to get done. And, you know, but I do think there's some areas that he can get better at, and I'm sure he'd tell you the same thing.
Was his play this season what you expected from him, though?
Again, I think it's more about the combination of the team as opposed to one particular player.
Is it as simple as an offensive line, Mike? And
excuse me?
Is it as simple as a great offensive line play, and is that the most difficult thing to do, is to try to build, draft, develop offensive linemen?
Drafting and building really any position is really hard. Obviously, the offensive line is a tough spot, but, you know, there's plenty of them. But I would not say it's as simple as that. I think there's a lot of things that go on that we have to do a better job there. You know, if you look at the 5 years that I've been here, defensively, you know, we've kind of gone up and then maintained where we were. And offensively, for the most part, we've been down here. So I have to do a better job of creating that kind, the defensive mindset and attitude and things that we have on offense. And I think that's probably as simple as that.
How much of a premium, though, needs to be put on improving the offensive line?
I think the premium needs to be put on everywhere. I mean, you know, we're just starting to go through the evaluation process now with most of the positions. But, you know, there's a lot of guys that, you know, we can help to play better. And there's a lot of positions that we need to get better at.
Like, in terms of the support from ownership, would you be comfortable with a scenario where you coach in the final year of your contract?
Sure. I got no problem with that. Free agent after that, right?
Going off of that, just with everything that you've been through and the stress and the losing weight, was there any part of you that considered retiring or anything like that? Or?
No, I can't believe that somebody even threw that out there, but no, it was totally 100%, what do they call it, hashtag fake news or something? No, none.
You had the...
I'm not a quitter.
You had the eye thing, obviously, you had to go through 2 years ago. Is this season as stressful as that, more stressful?
The season wasn't. I mean, every season's stressful. I mean, it wasn't more stressful or less stressful. Every season's stressful. When you don't win, it's more stressful. The eye thing, that was difficult to deal with, but it's not. It wasn't really. Actually, the season went pretty fast, to be honest with you.
Mike, what do you think is the main thing you guys lacked that the playoff teams have this year?
You can look at a lot of statistics, but, you know, I think Mark, quite honestly, you know, this football team for the 4 years that I've been here had that nasty, we're going to win regardless, no matter what the situation is, mentality. And, I don't know that we had it this year. You know, I talked to a couple people during the season, that around the building, and I actually said to him, I said, you know, it's just kind of a different vibe with this football team, and I can't figure out why, you know, because we had a lot of the same guys back. We have good football players. You know, I wasn't really different than I normally am, but for some reason, we didn't finish the games like we'd finished before. So I don't know why. I mean, we had the lead in a bunch of games last year that we finished. And this year we were playing catch-up, you know, more so. So I don't know if that's it or not. But we're going to get that mentality back. I can promise you that.
Like beyond, could it be the assumption that widespread assumption that we're just going to take the next step?
It could be that. It could be the expectation level and everybody believed it. It could be, you know, a lot of different things. But we're going to get it back.
Like beyond the offensive coordinator, do you anticipate any other changes to the coaching staff?
I don't know yet. Again, I'm still going through the evaluations. We'll see how we go. You know, some guys are out of contract. You know, they may not want to stay here. You know, we'll work through that here in the next 5 days or whatever it is.
Like, when you say you're going to get it back, how do you get it back?
I've got a plan.
Care to share?
No.
Mike, when you think back to the preseason and maybe some things that you were concerned about, like any coach or bench would be concerned about.
Like what?
Back to the preseason, things you might have been concerned about and how the season played out. What were some of those things you were concerned about that came to fruition?
Well, in the thing I remember the most about, you know, it's a long time ago, but the thing I remember most about the preseason was, you know, we were playing okay on defense, and that kind of showed through the first 4 weeks of the season. We didn't play great. We got back to playing pretty darn good there for the most part, but there's still some areas we got to get better there too. I guess, and then maybe the continuity offensively, you know, with, you know, we got a new quarterback, we got new coordinator, you know, those kind of things.
Given the way this team was able to bounce back after 2016 and what you guys did last year, what can you take from that example and apply it to 2019?
Well, I think it's a good example. You know, we've got good football players on this team. We got good coaches. We've got a great home field stadium. There's a lot of things that we can build on. But I told the team this one day, you know, a year ago I felt like we had a big chip on our shoulder. You know, this year I don't know that chip was there, and we're going to get it back.
On the heels of that, you win the division in 15, fall off in 16, win the division last year, fall off this year. Has that up and down list, does that concern you?
Yeah, and, you know, there's a lot of different reasons for that or possibilities. I mean, you know, you get new players, you get different schedules, you get, you know, you get the first place schedule, you get the, you know, the third place schedule, whatever it is. And quite honestly, you know, most of the teams that we lost to were pretty darn good this year. So, but if we want to get back to the caliber of where we want to be, we have to beat the good teams. So that's part of it.
Coach, 11 of the 12 playoff teams ran for more yards than they allowed, and you were on the flip side of that. Is that one of the reasons why you stressed the urgency with the flip of coordinators?
I just wanted to be more balanced. It wasn't, but that's true. Most of these teams, even though they're, quote, passing teams, they still run the football. And it makes it much more difficult for the defense. If you can run the ball, it slows the defense down to pass rush, which helps the offensive line. The play action slows down the defensive line. All those different things, I think, help make you an effective offense. And, we need to do a better job there, yes.
Like when you're looking for your next offensive coordinator, do you put any extra weight on candidates who you have a prior relationship with? Does that help in the process at all?
No, not really. I know where you're going with that question, but that's not a good question. I mean, it's a good question, but it's probably you're fishing in the wrong pond.
Like you were talking about losing Tony and the edge and the mentality that he brought, when you look at whether or offense coordinator or other coaches you bring in, is that a priority for you to have someone that has that intensity and that kind of approach?
Well, that's part of it, yeah. You know, and I really felt like a year ago with the players we had there, we had that mentality with the players. And I still feel like the players, and I'm not district, you know, saying things about the offensive line this year, but they were tough guys too. But I think you need that kind of a leader in that room that can help with those things. And Tony was very innovative in the running game. And like I said before, he was extremely influential in that room. I used to talk with him every morning, you know, and so when I'm talking to the defense during the games, he would be influential throughout the series offense, you know, while they're getting going offensively about what they're going to do in the next series. So that was a little bit of a factor. I do think that Clancy and Andrew, you know, for the situation that they were put in, did an unbelievable job. But, you know, it's tough. You know, I got that phone call. We're coming back. We're going to have a kickoff party on Monday. I got a call. I guess it was Monday. Got that call Sunday morning at 9 a.m. from Kim, you know, that he passed away. And so, you know, we're getting ready to go to training camp in 2 days. So the whole thing was, you know, another one of sections for my book, I guess.
How did you navigate this season without him? Just given you mentioned those meetings that you guys had and he's such a close confidant. I mean, how difficult personally when you look back at this year of just not having that voice or that ear for you?
Yeah, and, you know, the other part that people don't realize in this job, you know, you get close to people's families and lives. And, you know, his wife, you know, I'd text her once in a while, see if she's okay. you know, making sure that their family's okay. But, you know, that's part of it, too, is it's not just about the football, even though everybody, that's what it wants to be. But, you know, every time you put that pin on it said TS, you know, you're thinking about him and the things that, you know, that you miss about him as well. So, you know, I know the offensive line room was devastated when that happened because they really loved the guy, as did everybody that worked with him. He was a grumpy little Italian guy that was very, very good at his job and was a good friend of mine. But, you know, I think there's no rule, there's no book on it, on how to do it, but you just try to figure out how you can try and do it the best way, and if it works, it works, and if it don't.
You were pretty young. Two more. You're a pretty young team this year, and you obviously missed Tony's voice. Was there ever a time when you missed the voices of some of the veterans, like maybe Robinson, Berger, you know, Newman switching roles during those times of adversity to help the team through it?
You know, it's really hard for me to say that because every year you're going to have guys leave. You're going to have new coaches. You're going to have, you know, new situations that happen. And I think some of the guys that took over some of the leadership roles did a good job. But it's hard for me to say that was a factor or not, you know. And, you know, a lot of the guys you mentioned were really good leaders. But we still have a lot of leaders on this football team. And some, you know, and a lot of them lead differently. You know, Harrison Smith leads differently than Anthony Barr does. Or Riley Reiff leads differently than Kirk Cousins does. So it's hard to say, you know.
Do players lobby you much for, you know, we need to do this different, or for players they want to see you bring in? And do they do that much? Do they have a big say, or do they try to be vocal about that?
Not really too much, Mike. I ask a lot of players. You know, I told a lot of them that I want to get their opinion on some things, but, you know, the day they left. But I said, you know, I don't feel like today's the right day, you know, right after you get, you know, knocked out of the playoffs. And so I'm going to call some of the guys that I, you know, some guys won't say anything to you, you know, and then some guys will tell you whatever they think. And so you have to pick the right guys, and then you have to take it and figure out, you know, what's the best thing. But, and typically, I mean, you know, they'll lobby for you for players once in a while, but, you know, they don't understand salary caps or anything else. So it just kind of, you just listen and nod. Kind of like I do with you. See ya.
And there you go. Mike Zimmer, see ya. I'm out of here. The door won't hit him on the way out, as he will play or coach on a one-year deal. He's got no problem.
Sure.
It's doesn't no issue with him, because that just makes him a free agent. And you know all sorts of teams will be clamoring for his knee-jerk coaching or personnel decisions. All the reaction to all of the Mike Zimmer, I would even call it a introspective and maybe, dare I say, a contrite Mike Zimmer news conference. We'll talk about that other side of the break on the Grum and the Fan.
This is the new Common Man program on the Fan.
Oh, I could hide neath the wings of the bluebird as she sings.
Couple 13, 14 passed here on the Common Man program. We're running a bit behind. Generally, we would be into our final segment of the noon hour. However, we're not, because the Mike Zimmer News Conference was rather lengthy today. If I were to sum it up in a sentence, Tenneby, I would say it was just Zimmer being Zimmer. What do you think?
Yeah.
It was Zimmer being Zimmer. I use the word introspective because he did kind of take a look at it, even look at himself a little bit, saying that not only is he going to analyze the play of all the players and the coaching staff, he's going to take a look at himself, take a long, hard look at himself in the mirror. I'm not sure he'll like what he sees, but I don't think he'll be too disappointed. He's going to write a book, he says. So he's pretty high on himself, right? I use the word contrite, which is feeling or expressing remorse or penitence, affected by guilt. Some other synonyms would be remorseful, repentant, regretful, sorry, apologetic, rueful. I don't know if that's exactly there, but he did seem to be, certainly he didn't spend his entire time talking about excising kickers from the team and coordinators and this and that and that. He took his fair share of the blame. and kind of talked about some of the things that he thought were an issue. He certainly emphasized the death of Tony Sperano, which I won't even attempt to, what's the word I'm looking for, to diminish.
Downplay?
Downplay or diminish the effect that that had, especially so close to the start of the season. I don't know how long that carries over, though. I could see certainly a training camp. I mean, it's 2 days before camp, as he said.
Sure.
Your best friend. I mean, not even the offensive line, but just he was kind of his sounding board. It was kind of his guy, best friends, right? And so that's certainly difficult. And I understand, you know, coaching can be very important. And when you are, you know, we kind of talked about that tough guy approach and chip on the shoulder. And Tony Sperano certainly seemed to have that aura about him, right? That was always said about Tony, right? Was Tony's the kind of guy, he's a gruff, you know, he was that old Italian guy, you know, and so he kind of had that, and maybe he was part of what brought that, because that was the one thing that really stuck out when Zimmer said, it seemed to me, he was saying more than anything, we didn't have that tough guy, chip on our shoulder approach that we, and that goes back to that old school defensive football where, you know, we're going to line up, and we're going to physically dominate you. We're tougher than you are. You know, there's nothing you can do that we are bigger, better, stronger than you, and we will show it. We will impose our will physically on you. And the team didn't do that often, especially even his defense. You know, again, he spent the first part of the first question or two, or maybe just his synopsis before he took questions, extolling the virtues of his defense. We were best, top five. Third down defense, et cetera, et cetera. But they gave up two really big drives in the Bears game. I mean, again, I'm not trying to put the onus on the defense, because when your offense is getting nothing and the defense is on the field a long time and they are starting to get tired, and psychologically they're thinking, what's the use? Our offense can't move the ball even a yard. They're on the field for 23 seconds. And the other team is pretty good, too. That's what everybody always thinks. Of, oh, our defense should be able to stop everybody every game. Doesn't work that way. It just doesn't. And so if the Bears got a game plan together, they're going to make some plays, too. And sometimes your team, even if you think you're loaded with great defensive players, even the best defensive players make mistakes every once in a while. So they weren't the, at least several times throughout the year, the defense didn't have that tough guy, we're not going to let you get an inch here, you know? But again, sometimes you have to give the credit to the other team, which he did say, and I don't think it was just because the teams they lost to were good teams. Every team they, well, not every team they lost to, but most of the teams they lost to were in the playoffs. Now, you can still say, well, that means, that goes to show you, you weren't a playoff.
Best of the lows, this loss, this
right,
is the best.
Exactly. Yeah. But anyway, I
got the vibe from the press conference that he's now looking forward to the offseason and next season. Remember, was it 3-4 years ago when he did the bit of everyone's doubted me this in my entire life? He's always liked being doubted.
Yes, I think you're
and
right.
And I feel like this is the first year that they weren't really being doubted. Everyone projected them to go far.
He brought that up, too.
And
expectation.
You know, because he kept talking about the chip on his shoulder. I think he's looking forward to, all right, no one believes in us again. Yeah. No one believes in my quarterback. No one believes in our offense. Now's the time to prove it.
And that probably exactly what you're saying when he was asked the question about working around one with just, you know, without an extension. Sure, got no problem. Bring it on.
Yeah.
You know, so one other thing that I think may have something to do with the chip on the shoulder approach and that kind of tough guy thing. I have a theory. It's probably going to be called piling on, but I'll have that for you. Other side of the break, Common Man program on the Fan.
Tell us what you think. You're listening to the new Common Man program on the Fan.
Register for your shot to win a pair of spots to play on the Michelob Golden Light team in the U.S. Pond Hockey Championships January 24th through the 27th at Lake Nokomis. Register at KFAN.com's contest page now. KFAN.com, make the keyword pond.
Couple 13-14 pass, final segment of the Common Man program. Dan Barrero in at 3:45 or 4 o'clock, somewhere in that general neighborhood. Wild hockey today, the rare afternoon game. Much to my chagrin, I was really looking forward to 3 hours of nonstop Viking talk again. It's what I do and what I love. However, apparently the NHL, in their infinite wisdom, they light to market to Europe. And so if they play a game at 1 o'clock, in Europe it's probably 6 hours difference, that's a 7 o'clock drop.
That's just for Saturday's game. Today's game has nothing to do with that.
Well, why are they doing it then?
Apparently it's some sort of kids' day in Toronto. They do it once a year.
Okay, well, good for them.
Where they fill the stadium with children.
Okay, makes sense. Well, let's fill. And so I'm four kids. Game. What's interesting is I'm four kids. There was a time I was not. There was a time I was four stadiums against kids because you can't be for both. I didn't think you could. Then all of a sudden I was four kids and against stadiums. Then I was against both and now I'm for both because I think you can do both of those. Before I get to some more analyzation regarding the Zimmer News Conference, to pay off my tees. Common, it's my wife Sheila's birthday today. I was hoping you would wish her a happy birthday. Now, to be honest with you, she doesn't enjoy the new grum. Gets annoyed when I make her listen. However, much like the Common Man, I tend to make everything about me. So I thought that I would love to have the Common Man wish my wife a happy birthday. It would really make my day. What can I say? She has the sweetest husband ever. She leaves work, listens to the radio from 1:30 to 1:45. If you could wish her the happiest birthday during this time, it would mean the world to me. She honestly the best thing that has ever happened to me, and I want everyone to know. She's my best friend and a wonderful mother to our children. What says love more than having tens of hundreds of your listeners proclaim my love for her? She would have probably preferred a card, but it's not all about her. Thank you, Common. I'm a longtime listener and enjoy your shit daily. Could you please let me know if you will do this so I can text her to tune in after work? Signed, Dustin. I texted back, can't do it. Not going to work. I'm out at 1. He said, I'll podcast it if you can do it right away. That's what I just did. So he'll podcast it for his
brilliant.
Dad. Do you think part of the losing the tough guy persona, because the coach seems to think that was, I mean, yeah, you can do play calls here, offensive line there, missing extra points and field goals. There's a lot of different things you can pick apart. But kind of almost, he seemed to suggest, didn't you think, that basically the team was missing that chip on her shoulder, underdog, circle the wagons,
sure.
We're tough guys. And as you mentioned, I think he likes that personally, and maybe the team does. Do you think any of it, now this is going to be accused of piling on the much maligned quarterback. When I think of Kirk Cousins, I'm not saying, and please, I'm not questioning his masculinity. To play pro football, stand back in the pocket, and get hit and pounded, you got to be a tough guy. But Case Keenum seemed to me more like, yeah, I'm 5'11". I hold all these records. No one wanted to draft me. I'll show you. I'll make things happen. And I think the team rallied around that. He was like the little engine that could. Cousins comes in, $84 million, got the death vase out front, got his 10-minute Excel spreadsheet in front of him, driving his van, you know, his minivan, his what do they call those vans that are?
Conversion van.
He doesn't have the case. Do you think I'm either on to something or on something or both?
Well, and I think out of your leaders need to be tough, and I don't think Kirk Cousins has that in him. I remember, was it first game of the season? It was against San Francisco, where Cousins had a play in which he put his body at risk running for a first down. It was kind of one of those. It was one of those talkers after of people doing, why are you $84 million quarterback, why are you putting your body at risk with the chance?
Okay, sure.
And I remember myself, and I think you might have disagreed with me on this one, I said, to me it's all timing of the game, right? They needed a first down basically to cinch the game, so therefore, go ahead and do it. And I do think that does send a little bit of a message to the rest of your team of, hey, I'm here to fight for you. Mm-hmm. I'm here to play for you. And from that, from like about game one or two, I felt like we didn't get that Kirk Cousins the rest of the year. He was kind of taking some big hits early on and getting right back up. And it seemed like he got more timid and timid, especially in that pocket as the season went along.
Wouldn't you? You see that pocket?
Well, Case Keenum didn't.
That's like, do you have you ever had a hole in your pocket? And every time you put something in there, you know, because you carry everything in your pocket.
Do.
Your keys, your wallet, your
cell phone,
gum, chapstick, spare tire,
No, I carry that under my shirt.
3 seconds. I'll give you a...
I always love that one.
So, Yeah, I mean, again, and I'm not saying that the reason the team didn't play with a tough guy persona was because Kirk Cousins ain't a tough guy. But you do sort of your fearless leader kind of a guy, and he, I mean, again.
That being said, like, I don't look at Tom Brady and Drew Brees as tough guys.
True too. Well, Brees seems to have a little bit of snarl to him with a scar on his face. He's got that scar. He seems to have kind of a snarl on his face to me. But yeah, I don't know if Brady was considered that tough guy, but I'm not trying to say, you know, again, like I said, I'm not trying to, you know, let's put it this way. Kirk Cousins has caught a lot of heat, not just since the Bears game ended, but really all season long in drips and drabs. I mean, there have been times where he's had very good games, you know, numbers-wise, and team has won, and people go, boy, that's pretty good, but he's also had some issues. But, you know, I don't know if it's as simple as, you know, we didn't have that tough guy persona, that chip on our shoulder, and I'm going to get it back, and I got a plan. I'm not going to tell you, but I have a plan. Well, okay, if he can do that, if that's all it is, I think it runs deeper than
came
that.
Came up with that plan in like 3 days. Yeah. Might have wanted to start that plan earlier.
You got to start somewhere, and I'm not saying that can't be part of it, especially we've talked about this, Tinnaby. There are those sports where they're physical, they're tough, and it's manly men, and football's one of them, hockey's another, golf, and boxing. Those are the four where you got to be tough guy, right? And so I don't think you can underplay it, but I think sometimes it can be overplayed too. But the coach seems to think they get the tough guy persona back. He's also said that they'll leave no stone unturned, no sand trap unraked, no divot unreplaced, no ball mark unrepaired in the relentless pursuit for an offensive coordinator.
And the Hugh Jackson rumors just keep heating up and heating up.
Yeah. Well, and again, I think it's possible Hugh Jackson becomes offensive coordinator, Marv Lewis becomes defensive coordinator. Though I don't know if... Remember Zimmer talked before about...
Is that like the Tibbs strategy of bringing back all his old...
Well, there's that.
The Timber Bulls?
There's that, but... I think he sort of hinted at that a couple of times about relinquishing some control over that defense, but I
don't ever see him doing
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I mean...
That's his baby.
I could see him hiring a, and I don't even think there's, who's our defensive coordinator now in
George
name
Edwards.
Only? George Edwards. He might be really good, and there might be no reason to move on without him. Edwards might on his own, right? Because hasn't he been rumored to be in interview processes elsewhere?
Tampa Bay.
But let's say he doesn't get hired. Is Zim, because he is really the de facto, is that the right word, coordinator? Does Edwards stay? Because, you know, really, and this isn't to take anything away. I'm not trying not to give Edwards some of the credit for the defense, because he might be an integral part of it, right? I don't know. But it has been mostly Zim's defense, and so it'll be interesting to see. Also, we said we'll know probably the next 5 days or so if there'll be other coaching changes. So that was pretty much sums it up. Tenneby, thanks for having me.
Hey, great job today.
I'm exhausted.
I can get used to this.
We are back tomorrow at, so good, the listeners. We'll be back tomorrow at 12 noon, but hang around. Wild Hockey, and then immediately following the game, Big Ticket. Enjoy the rest of your day. And like I say, hang around for the Wild. Who are we playing?
Toronto.
That's next on The Fan.
Good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever you are.
To listen back to a podcast of today's show, visit the Common Man channel on the iHeart.